If you've seen in your bulletins, the message is entitled, Covered by the Blood. Perhaps we don't talk much about the blood. Perhaps we don't like to talk much about the blood. It's messy and, well, it indicates death and suffering and hurt and mayhem and all kinds of things. But I think it's good today to be reminded about the blood. After all, we're going to have communion, and when we drink the cup of grape juice, it signifies the blood of the Lamb of God. And so I think it does us well once in a while to remember the blood. And so I'm going to ask you, if you've got your Bibles, to turn in Exodus 12. I'm going to look at some Old Testament scripture, and then I'll have some New Testament scripture you can follow along in your Bibles or on the big screen if you like. But I think it's good for us today during communion to be reminded that we're covered by the blood. And so where I'm going to take you in Exodus 12, 1 through 14, is a familiar passage to you, I know. But I want to remind us about this thing called Passover. I want to remind us about the blood. I want to remind us about the significance of the blood and the importance of, when they were charged with remember the Passover, our importance of, as Jesus said, remembering Him and His blood. And so I want to take us from the Old Testament to the New Testament with a few verses this morning. Excuse me, I think that you know full well this story. God is about to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. They have now been there 430 years, much of that time in slavery and captivity. If you've read through the story lately in the first part of Exodus, you remember that there are 10 plagues. 9 have been completed already. The 10th is about to happen. And this 10th plague is the death angel that's going to visit Egypt on this night. And you know in the story that the firstborn of every household in Egypt will die on this night. Every single firstborn, of the Pharaoh to the maidservant. Every single one of the firstborn will die on this night. But not in Goshen. But not amongst the Israelites. Because God is going to give Moses some instruction, and they are going to be covered by the blood. Exodus chapter 12. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, On the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need. You shall make your account for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. You know what that means. Don't bring me the cripples. Don't bring me the weathers. Those of you in the sheep business know what that means. Gelding or whatever you want to refer to. Don't bring me them. Don't bring me the three-legged ones, the lop-eared ones. Bring me the best one. A lamb without blemish. A male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire, with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire. Its head with its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it, with the belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. That was him rolling out this instruction to the Israelites. Why do they need to do all that? Verse 12. God said, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." God is saying to them, in essence, you are going to be covered by the blood. And then he said, "This day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance." He's saying to them, don't forget it. Don't forget what I have done for you on this night. Keep this on a yearly basis, year after year after year. Do not forget what I'm about to do for you, he tells his children of Israel. When we think about those children, those descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who had gone down into Egypt, 70 persons in all, and were now numbering in the millions, they were in bondage. They were in slavery. They were in captivity. And God was offering them this offer that night. You kill the lamb, you cover your doorpost, your threshold with blood, and I'll pass over you. And then he says, keep the Passover. Grab the lamb, the 10th of the first month, every year. Keep it till the 14th and kill it at twilight and remember what I have done for you. That's his challenge to the Israelites. And long after this edict of God to the Israelites, God knew the Jews and the Gentiles alike were still enslaved in sin. Long after the Passover was instituted, his own people and the Gentile people and us, we were still captive in sin. And that's where we enter Jesus, the Lamb of God. You remember the scene on the banks of the Jordan when John the Baptist was baptizing and he saw Jesus for the first time, as adults at least. "Behold the Lamb of God," he said, "who takes away the sin of the world." Enter Jesus into humanity. Oh, we know in the Old Testament it was the blood. And we know in the Old Testament it wasn't even this blood that was the first blood. We know that. You think back to Eden when God had to kill a couple of animals to cover up Adam and Eve when sin entered in. You think of Abel and Cain and you think of how one was offering of the best of his flock. And you think of Abraham and you think of Noah. And there was all kind of sacrifices. Don't get me wrong. This is not the first time there was blood for sin. But this is the time when God says to his people, I want you to institute this thing called Passover, and I want you to remember that with the blood, God passed over you. But it wasn't good enough. The high priest could go into the Holy of Holies once every year. He could go into the holy place once every day, and it wasn't good enough. They could shed the blood of animals. They could shed for the sin offerings and the guilt offerings and the burnt offerings and the votive offerings and all those things you read about in Leviticus. But it wasn't good enough. Yes, it was appeasing God because it was blood for sin. But it wasn't the ultimate. It wasn't the ultimate good enough for sin. And so in the Old Testament, we see all this blood, messy. You read about it in Exodus and Leviticus, and it's not a pretty picture. Messy. Even Moses was instructed way back in the book to sprinkle the blood on your brother Aaron because he's the high priest and his sons. Dash it against the altar all the way around, pour it out by the altar. Blood, blood, blood all over the place. But it wasn't good enough. And God knew that. And God had a plan, and the plan for the blood was named Jesus. Revelation describes it very, very well. I'm going to read to you a couple of verses from Revelation. John is writing to the seven churches. He's been instructed by Jesus to write to the seven churches. And in Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, he says, "Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come." And he has this greeting. And then he says, "To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." That's a pretty good description, isn't it? Who washed us from our sins by his blood. Later on, in Revelation 5 and 9, we see the 24 elders and we see the four living creatures. You know the stories there about how they're around the throne and how they're worshiping him who sits on the throne day and night. And here's what they say. "And they sang a new song when they saw the Lamb. You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood." Covered by the blood. And so the 24 elders in this scene in Revelation and these four living creatures, they know that the only way for humanity to be redeemed back to God was by the blood of the Lamb of God. Not the blood of Old Testament sacrifices. The blood of the Son of God. Washed, John said here, washed us from our sins in his own blood. Only the blood of Jesus washes away sin. Amen? Only the blood of Jesus washes away sin. We can't work our way through sin. We can't be good enough. Only the blood of Jesus washes away our sin. And John says, or the 24 elders and the four creatures cry out, "Who has redeemed us to God by his own blood." Ephesians 1 and 7 says it this way, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." What would we do without the blood? Paul writes here to the church at Ephesus, we are redeemed through his blood. No blood of the Son of God, no redemption. That's what he says. It's the blood of Jesus that redeems. It's the blood of Jesus that washes us from our sin. We are covered today, brothers and sisters, by the blood of Jesus. We cannot go to God without the shedding of blood. We cannot get there. It is the blood that redeems us. It is the blood of Jesus that covered our sin. And that's why Jesus said, and he said it in the four Gospels, when he talked about this communion, this last Passover supper, they were celebrating this last event, this historical event. We call it communion. We call it the Lord's table. They called it Passover. That's why he said to them, "When you take this cup, it's the new covenant in my blood." And he didn't have to tell them the whole story. Those 12 knew it that night. The blood of the Old Testament wasn't good enough. You can sacrifice lambs all day long and all month long and all year long, and it's not going to be good enough but the blood of the Lamb. He said, that's why this is the new covenant in my blood. Covered once again, friends, by the blood of Jesus. And I thought that today, as we partake of the cup and the bread again, we need to be reminded this is not just routine. This is not just mundane. Okay, it's the first of the month. We better have communion again. Nothing mundane about the death of Jesus. Nothing routine about the shed blood of the Son of God. And so, as we prepare for this communion this morning, I want us to prepare our hearts. We're going to sing a song before we have communion today. It's in your songbook. It's a great song. I'm going to read to you a verse or two of it before we sing it. But I want you to consider for a moment. Have you recognized the importance of the blood? Have you applied the blood? We are washed from our sin by the blood of Jesus. We are redeemed by the Savior's blood to the Father by His blood. And I want you to consider that while we're singing this song, have I applied the blood? Have I trusted Christ's sacrifice on the cross for my sin? The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's because of the blood of Jesus. We're covered in the blood. We're covered by the blood. Have we applied the blood? And while we're singing this song, I want us to make our hearts ready for communion. And while we're singing this song, it's on 196, right? While we're singing this song, if you have never applied the blood to yourself, if you have never been washed by the blood of the Lamb, you have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ for His washing of your sin, then I want you to come forward and pray with Isaac today. While we're singing this, to not only prepare for communion, but to prepare for eternity by applying the blood. These words in this song, it's called There Is a Fountain, are powerful words. And while we're singing these five verses, I want you to look at them closely and I want you to think about them. There is a fountain filled with blood. Where does it come from? Drawn from Emmanuel's veins, the Son of God. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Hallelujah. We apply the blood. We apply the blood. And sinners, who we all have been, lose all our guilty stains because of the blood of Jesus. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. Can you envision for a moment someone rejoicing to see the spewing blood of Jesus? But the dying thief knew what it meant. The dying thief knew what it meant. And he says, and there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Dear dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. And so we're going to sing these five verses. Brother Isaac, come on up here. And if you have never applied the blood of Jesus to your life, please, friends, do it today.